Thank you so much for listening to Urbanistica podcast. I am Mustafa Sharif, an urban planner, and you're more than welcome to join my big journey of exploring the making of smarter and more livable cities. Please don't forget to follow Urbanistica on the different social media platforms, and also let's connect on LinkedIn. Big thanks to Urbanistica podcast partner, AFRI. AFRI is an international engineering and design company providing sustainable solutions in the fields of energy, industry, and infrastructure. Are you ready for a new episode? Let's go for it. Hello, and thank you so much for listening to Urbanistica podcast. We have a great guest, one of my role models and idols, and also a legend in urban planning and city development. Welcome back to the Urbanistica podcast, Professor Carlos Moreno.
Hello, dear Mustafa. Happy New Year, 2020.
Happy New Year. How are you doing?
Fine. Thank you. A very, very busy, very hectic year again, but
yes,
so happy as well for a lot of projects and a lot of activities.
Yes, and also I have three topics to talk with you about in this episode. We start with your book. Congratulations for your book coming out the 7th of May.
Yes.
And tell us more about what are we going to read?
Yes, thank you. This new book is a long process of maturation. I just remember that my latest book was wrote during the first wave of the COVID-19
yeah.
in the summer 2020.
Mm.
3 years and more after, we will publish this new book. Mm. I wrote this new book during the last summer, 2023. And in fact, this book was for me the opportunity for reflecting in two ways. Mm. The first one, after suffering the insane attacks by the conspiracy mongers worldwide, I have decided to write with a lot of details the scientific aspect of the 50-minute city, not only with my contribution, but to deploy a historical overview of the people, of the thought leader that have worked on this question of the transformation of our cities for having more livability. From Clarence Perry, Giorgio Simmel, the German philosopher, for example, until the modern times, my friend Jean Gehl.
Yeah.
Urbanismo, the new pedestrianismo, and of course, Jane Jacobs. The first part of my book. Consider the history of proximity in the modern urbanismo, the question of the relationship between the urban space and the useful time, the history of the urban time, the history of the geographical reflections on cities. Mm. This is the first part, 10 chapters. I have, after two chapters, the 10 and 12 and 11 chapter, for telling the history of the emergence of the 50-minute city as concept, the role of the C40 cities, very important in this maturation process, the role of the COP21 in Paris, the extreme positive role of Anne Hidalgo, of the mayor of Milan, Giuseppe Sala, and the other 10 chapters have dedicated for a big worldwide tour in the 5 continents for presenting different cities, big cities, metropolises, middle cities, small cities, ruralities that have decided to implement the concept of the 50-minute city or the X-minute city, because we have the 10-minute city, the 20-minute neighborhood, the vital neighborhood, etc. This book, for putting it in a nutshell, on the one hand, the theoretical in the scientific exploration, and the second part, the concrete presentation of the implementation around the world of this concept.
This is amazing. I want to ask you about, like, first your feelings when you start to get all these like hate messages from conspiracy theorists about that 50-minute city is a climate change lockdown, urban prison camps, and so on. And also, like, you got like this death threats, like sooner or later you will be your punishment will arrive. You're trying to help cities. At the same time, you receive this. How was your feelings then when you start to receive this?
Yes, this is a good question. In fact, I am very happy because after this dark period started 1 year ago, in February 2023.
Yes, I remember. Yeah.
The conspiracy mongers have started in Oxford with the insane attacks and relayed by Jordan Peterson in Edmonton, in British Columbia, and in Argentina, Brazil, and Spain. But at the same time, even if the essential of these attacks were by internet, social networks, in the real life, for example, in UK, in Oxford, in Manchester, in Liverpool, in different cities, with the local elections, the conspiracy movements, in fact, had less than 2% of the local elections.
Okay.
The majority, in fact, of people in UK, after the different surveys, have approved this process. Also, unfortunately, the Prime Minister, Rishi Sunak, recently had decided to attack me again, but the reality today is the presence of a lot of mayors in UK, in Scotland, for example, one part of the UK, the Scottish Parliament has voted in February 2023, 1 year ago, a new framework, the fourth framework, 2023-2040, based on this concept. The name is for a 20-minute territory, Scotland. I am very, very proud of that. In reality, in a lot of places around the world, not only cities, in the case of the Scotland is a nation. In Spain, recently, a new mandature of the Prime Minister, Pedro Sanchez, he has proposed during his electoral campaign the deployment of the new Spain of proximity. His name is the Spain of 30 minutes. He said, I wanted to deploy more essential services for satisfying less 30 minutes in the whole territory of Spain. And the vice president, Teresa Rivero, the minister of ecological and demographic transition, is in charge for implementing. Most of the after our last meeting in Pontevedra, the good news is that in spite of the insane attacks of conspiracy mongers, in 1 year, we have not only cities with the C40 cities, the global network of metropolises for fighting against climate change. We have the United Cities and Local Governments Association, UCLG, middle and small cities. We have the support of the UN Habitat, United Nations Habitat, in charge of cities. And now we have as well nations as Scotland, countries as Spain. In Asia, this is the case in South Korea. We could identify the rise of the 50-minute city, the rise of the 30-minute territory, and I said now the rise of the happy proximity.
So like this attack empowered your thoughts and ideology and concept and strategies. But tell me, Professor Carlos, about your feelings when you read this. How does Carlos feel inside?
My feel was different in the time. I guess that in February 23rd of February, after the first demonstration in Oxford, 2,000 people in Oxford in a physical demonstration for saying the 50-minute city, the new climate lockdown,
prison and camps.
You hate Moreno, et cetera, et cetera. Moreno is the new Pol Pot. Moreno is the new Stalin. Moreno is the new Hitler. At the beginning, when I observed these photos, the neo-Nazi demonstrations, the Patriotic Alternative neo-Nazi movement in UK, the alt-right, the Heritage Party, with a lot of different people, including elderly people, children, etc. It was very hard. After I received by the social networks a lot of death threat for my family. This moment from February until the end March was a very hard period. At this moment, it was necessary to define my attitude. To contest, to develop a media strategy for answering. And in fact, I took a decision after discussing with my university, with my colleagues. My decision was to prefer be quiet and to nothing respond, to be silent. I think that this decision was the best decision because, in my opinion, if this concept was a scientific solid concept by itself, this concept will resist the different attacks. And in fact, a lot of scientists, a lot of colleagues in different places around the world have answered.
Yeah.
I received the online petition started by our colleague in Netherlands. This online petition was signed by 6,000 scientists in just a few days.
Mm-hmm.
And the media, and in particular, the fact-checking journalists around the world, in all countries, have decided to explore the question as fact-checkers.
Yep.
And I received a total support by these fact-checkers. And the highest point was when the New York Times has explored with me my situation. I opened, of course, to the New York Times the different elements, and the New York Times has dedicated in the print one page for explaining my situation, not only my personal situation, Carlos Moreno,
but
the situation of scientists attacked by our duty to explore the question as urbanism, climate change, etc. And even if at the beginning this situation was very, very hard for me, the role of other colleague scientists, the role of the media, were essentials for giving me my trust in my activity and to continue. And the most important point, the attitude of mayors and the International Organization of Mayors, for considering that this was a real new disruptions. And my feeling today, I think that the conspiracy mongers, in spite of those insane attacks, have contributed to give
more
visibility to the concept.
To spread more your words. I remember it was a very tough time, and I remember also signing and so on, like advocating for you, for your ideas. And we had all the support for you. And tell me, like, are you, because you're traveling a lot, spreading your words and so on, are you afraid when you travel now, like that you're alone, maybe somebody attacks you, or no, you like, now it's normal?
At the beginning, it wasn't normal. It wasn't
okay
because I received very, very violent attacks. And in particular, when I went to Argentina, because in Argentina, this is the case now, we have this emergence of the libertarian movement. Now, Milei is the president. And I received the violent death threat in Argentina.
Oy.
And when I went in Argentina, I was under police protections. For 10 days, I had two policemen with me and my wife.
Ah, guarding you.
Or be protected. And this situation is so particular because it's just so normal that a scientist will be protected by two policemen just by executing our job to explore the new hypothesis for the transformation of our city.
Yeah.
I'm not a politician. I'm not to be candidate for anything.
No.
Just for writing, for exploring the new ideas. For 10 days in Argentina, I had two policemen 24 hours. No. After that, when we have started to understand this global solidarity of the colleagues, we could transform this crisis started by attacks in a new opportunity
for
spreading this concept in all continents.
Yeah, it backfired on them. They thought they will stop you, but the thing is that you can bigger and bigger and bigger. And we are very happy for this, and we will always support you in words and in any forms, because you deserve it. Mm. Let's move to the next part about leadership. Big part of your ideas implemented by great leaders, and especially by Anne Hidalgo. I love to hear from you. What can other mayors, people in politics, learn from Anne in order to develop cities? Let's focus on leadership.
Yeah, good point. Good point, Mustafa. Thank you for that. Anne Hidalgo is an exceptional mayor. Before to embrace the 50 Minute City, she was already an exceptional mayor. Mm. Anne Hidalgo is a very committed mayor for fighting against global warming. She was the former chair of the C40 cities for 3 years. Mm. She hosted in Paris in 2015 the mayors that came at the moment of the COP21, when the countries have signed the Paris Agreement. And at this moment, Anne Hidalgo has organized with Mike Bloomberg and the C40 cities the summit 1,000 mayors for climate in 2015.
Wow.
And Anne Hidalgo has this particularity to do her proposals. This is not only the ideological concept. This is the concrete information, even if these actions could be unpopular.
Okay.
The question, for example, of the transformation of the motor highway among the Seine River, it was very unpopular because since 1962, we had the Bunker River of the Seine transformed in a motor highway.
Yeah.
And this decision, of course, to ban cars of this motor highway for reconquering this area for being a new urban park.
Yeah.
Was very unpopular. And Anne Hidalgo has accepted to be unpopular. And today, this is great, great, great success.
Right?
Nobody thinks today to retransform this area in a new motor highway. But at this moment, it was very unpopular.
Exactly.
And I think that the leadership of Anne Hidalgo around the world, for a lot of mayors around the world to learn of Anne Hidalgo is in particular her capability for having a vision, for being pioneers, and to do. even if this measure is unpopular.
Yeah.
We need determination. We need to be courageous. We need to have a stronger mindset for resisting to the different attacks. With the 50-minute city of Corso, Anne Hidalgo was again visionary because she embraced this concept before the COVID-19 pandemic.
Yeah, exactly.
She embraced this concept in November 2019. And for her new electoral campaign for the election in 2020, in fact, Anne Hidalgo had a nice balance with the mandature, but she wanted to propose the new ways, the new actions, the new trajectories. And for that, Anne said to me, Carlos, your concept of the 50-minute, I think that it's interesting for me to take this concept and to build the new urban narrative for the next 6 years. I think that for a lot of mayors around the world, we could learn that it is necessary to continue to reevaluate the urban policy for continuing to upgrade our mindset and to integrate the new challenges.
Yeah.
And I could resume in a sentence. Anne Hidalgo has shown to the different mayors the importance to have an intensive dialogue with scientists for extracting the essential points in order to integrate it in the new trajectory. The respect of the Anne Hidalgo with scientists, her capability for exchanging and for taking one point, another point, another point in her narrative is the extraordinary good point.
Yeah. Professor Carlos, what do you think about ministers, people in politics, experimenting in cities, like building cities on the moon, doing different shapes of cities, you know, like this kind of very, very new ways of doing cities. What do you think? Is this a good approach in creating like cities from scratch?
A city from scratch? My activity is oriented to regenerate our cities.
Existing cities.
To take a city that exists today and to propose the new ways for transforming. Of course, I received a lot of proposals for integrating the teams for the new scratch cities in several points around the world. But I prefer to refuse this activity because we have today 8 million inhabitants in our planet.
Yeah.
We have in Europe, the continent where I live, 75% of urban populations.
Mm-hmm.
I was born in South America, do you know? In South America today, the urban population is 84% of population. In North America, 86% of population. In cities that exist today.
Yeah.
And each one of these cities are confronted to three complicate problems: global warming, economical situation with the increase of inequities, poverty, and the social exclusion and the populism. I prefer to dedicate my best effort to develop the new ideas for the city that exists today. Of course, I appreciate different colleagues that have decided to be involved in the emergence of the new cities, Neom in Saudi Arabia and others. But this is not my this is not my way. In our cities today, in reality, with the 50-minute city, we have generated a global movement. When I received in October 2022 the Scroll of Honor.
Congratulations.
The decision of the jury was to recognize that we have generated a global movement. This global movement is not only Moreno in the 50-minute city. This is Dunhill and Melbourne with the 20-minute neighborhood. Justin Bieber in Cleveland, with Cleveland, the 15-minute city implementation, is the mayor of Brussels. Philip Close with the 10-minute Brussels is the mayor of Utrecht, who has developed the Utrecht 10-minute city. The Chinese movement, the community circle of 15-minute city. We have today a global movement based on the same idea, oriented for be customized in the different contexts. And the nickname for me is the Global Happy Proximity. And a lot of people say today the 15-minute city 2.0, the new vibrant proximities, the green and thriving neighborhoods, etc., etc. For me, it is a nice opportunity for continuing to explore the European Union, because you and me, we are living in Europe. The European Union has launched a program, Driving Urban Transitions, for the 27 countries of the European Union, with three research lines, and one of them, the second, is the 50-minute city. This is the request for proposal. We have today the second year now for emerging the collaborative project in the different cities, different stakeholders, different researchers, for promoting this concept in the concrete programs. I am totally happy with that, because this is no more my idea. This is an idea
global
in the common good of science and urban.
So, Professor, you prefer to focus on the existing cities instead of working on cities from scratch. And a lot of people, you know, when they create something and become very successful, they start to think about 2.0 of this thing. Are you also thinking about 15-minute city 2.0 or no? You're keeping it basic.
I will continue to explore this concept, 15-minute city, 30-minute territory, the happy proximity.
Yeah.
Today, with my team, for example, in Paris at Sorbonne University, we have decided to explore the question of the local economy, the local jobs.
Okay.
And how could we implement it with the 15-minute city, not only in ecological roadmap, not only in a social interaction roadmap in the neighborhood, but how could we create a new angle for developing a more vibrant economy? I have studied again We had last year two different seminars with my colleague, the Nobel Prize Paul Krugman. He received in 1992 the Nobel Prize, the Nobel Prize for his new economical geography, NEG.
Okay.
Paul Krugman said, in face with the offshore, we need to develop the near shore to relocalize the productivity, to relocalize the factory, to relocalize the jobs, to develop a more local economy. And with my team, we have decided to take this point, how could we transform the economy, given that the energy crisis after the Ukrainian war, today with the Middle East war, the question of the raw materials. We have today the difficulties for supplying with raw materials, given that the question of the war,
we transportation.
Have, yes, we have the question of the production with the local skills, the new products with the reduced consumption of energy and more local skills, more local interactions. I am convinced that this is a very concrete way for fostering a more vibrant economy based on the short circuits. The short circuits for me is one of the key for relocalizing jobs, for relocalizing the new economical relationships, for promoting a new employment, for generating the new economical ecosystem, for generating more added value, a new string of added value.
I
am convinced that the new developments of the 50-minute city to be related to the economy and to the access to jobs for transforming after the COVID. We have this question of the reduction of commuting, given that a lot of people today use their remote job, etc. But I think that we need to go beyond, not only to reduce, but to regenerate a local economy for having more short circuits. And this is my new upgrade with my
theory. Okay, like the new layer. It's more like focus on local economy. And Professor, I'm an urban planner and placemaker. We have a lot of urban planners listening to you. They are implementing what you do with when it comes to 15-minute city. What are the important skills that we should learn or develop to face the challenges that we have now or in the future?
Yes. Well, the first point, we need to be really, really open-minded. We need to consider that nobody has in a vertical discipline the solution for the complexity of the problems of cities. We need to generate generating a very powerful transdisciplinary ecosystem. We need a lot of different skills, of course, urbanism, architecture, sociologists, philosophers, mathematicians, computer scientists, geographers, for working in a collaborative way, we need to create a global tapestry of skills, because we need to understand under different angles the complexity of cities, and the complexity is composed of interdependencies. A city is a complex system because we have a lot of interdependencies, lot of layers, lot of different specialties.
Yeah.
My first and essential advice to be open-minded, to reduce our part of ego, to be humble, and to consider that we need to work with other disciplines for building these new theses, hypotheses, paradigms as a new social tapestry, global tapestry of cities.
Yeah, yeah, great advice. And we finish back with your book. What are the languages now that book will be available? Is it English and?
My first book, Droit des Cités, was translated today in 8 languages. The new translations, working in progress, German and Japanese. Yeah.
Wow. Amazing. Yeah. Amazing. And for the new, your new book, you finished writing it, right? You finished?
Yeah,
or you're writing?
In the summer, in the last summer, I finished.
Okay, okay. What is the most boring moment when you write a book?
The most boring moment was the first sentences. because it's very complicated to start. To start the book is very, very complicated because you have a sentence. No, no, this is not the good. No, the wrong is not the good. No, no, no. Oh, well, okay. I'm resigning. Okay. No, no, no.
Yeah.
I will finish. To start is so hard.
Yeah. And what is the most fun moment, joy moment?
The final point.
When you put and finish.
I put the point, finish.
And very, I read...
Exact, very, very exciting. When you said, it's okay.
Yeah, yeah. I read it's also like forwarded by Jan Gehl. In which way?
Yeah, Jan Gehl is a... my master, this is the master for
of course, yeah.
Our global community of Urbanism Planet Zen 2023.
Yeah.
Gave Jane Jacobs as the first past present urbanist, and Jack Bell, the first one of the contemporary urbanist.
Yeah.
And the Jean Gehl, I was this amazing dialogue in Copenhagen summer during the World Congress of Architects.
Yeah.
And I was with Jan for having this outstanding moment, 20 minutes. This was a real dream. And I request to Jan if he was available for writing the afterword for my book. Jan accepted immediately.
Very humble.
Immediately he was very happy, and he wrote a very, very powerful afterword. It's amazing.
Wow.
Amazing.
Wow. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And I requested to Marta Thorne. Marta was the former executive director of the Pritzker Prize for more than 20 years. Now she's the senior advisor of the Nobel Prize. She lives in Barcelona. And I requested to Marta for writing the foreword.
Yeah.
My book is in between Gail and Martha Thorne.
It's like the best. And I can't wait to read. It is from the master of my master in Oz. Like, I really, really waiting for it.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. And to finish this episode, you know, in this podcast, you were from the beginning part of it. And today we are celebrating 400 episodes. We have listeners from 140 countries. I love to hear a message from you to all our listeners. So we finish this episode, Professor Carlos Moreno.
I want to say to listeners that never than more, we need to rehumanize our cities. And this is a collective duty. This is a collective journey. And today, this is mandatory to deploy our best effort. Thank you for your commitment around the world for transforming our cities, for being more human, more livable. And thank you to Mustafa for offering this place for that.
My pleasure. Thank you so much, Professor Carlos, for your valuable time. You always have our love and support all the time. So keep up the good work, keep loving cities, and see you around.
Thank you, Mustafa. Thank you, dear friend. You are you rock. And we need
Thank you. Thank you. Take care.